Morning to each one of you. I am blessed to be here and be worshiping with you all this morning. For a message this morning, I have titled the message, Finding Security in a Troubled World, or you could say, Finding Security in an Insecure World. So what comes to your mind when you think of security? Think of something secure. What do you think about? Do you feel secure this morning? And so I want to break down that title a little bit, Finding Security in a Troubled World. Thinking of troubled world. There is so many troubled people living here in this world that we live in. The creation account proved beautiful. Everything was perfect. It was good. God said it was good, and it was good. And we heard about the Genesis account, I believe it was two Sundays ago, Drew spoke on that. And it was a good world. And then God created man, and man has corrupted the world through disobedience. And you know, it's not just Adam and Eve that sinned. It was each one of us. Every man, woman, and child has sinned. And as a result, it has brought so many troubled souls and people who live for themselves. And we have a society today who, through abortion, kills many children and embraces things like homosexuality and all these things. And they try to take God out of their lives. Anything that pertains to God, they want to shift and take it out. Christmas, for example, try to replace Christ in Christmas. And as a result, you know, it has so many problems. And you're going to have a troubled world. When you do all those things as a society, you will have a troubled world. And that's a problem that we were born into. And as society seems to be falling apart at the seams, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 8. I'm going to start here. Read a verse in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 22. This describes the earth at the time of that Isaiah's, as this was written. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 22. And they shall look unto the earth, and behold trouble and darkness. So all the people that are living on the earth, they look around and they behold, they see all this trouble and this darkness that is on the earth. They see dimness of anguish. And the last part says, and they shall be driven to darkness. Driven to darkness. And that is the world. And you think of Isaiah's day and age, day and time when this was written, driven to darkness. Imagine so much more today, how this world is just driven to darkness. Job 5, verse 7. I want to read that. You don't have to turn there, but I want to read those verses there. Job 5, verse 7. Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. And that was written in a day when there was no media. There was no social media. And, you know, today, we can bring all the troubles of the world right into our homes, right through into our phones and into our minds, and all the trouble of the world in an instant. We can bring all that in. And so as we think about living here in this troubled world, I want to focus on how do we find security in the troubles of this world. So the first point I want to look at is the world's security. What does the world find security in today? When I say the world, I mean meaning those who live in the world and those who place their security in all the things of this world. Security is the state of being free from danger or threat, the state of being or feeling secure, freedom from fear, anxiety, danger, doubt, etc. And so as I look at the part of the definition is the state of being or feeling secure. And those are probably two different things, being or feeling secure. We can be secure and yet maybe feel insecure, or feel insecure and yet we are secure. But many of us, some of us maybe, are not free from that. Some of us may feel insecure and struggle with insecurity. And I want to look at that this morning. Each one of us needs or wants to feel secure. We all do. Every one of us wants to feel secure. Thinking of wives this morning, they want the security from their husband. That is a God-given, and they want him to be in control and to provide for the family, and that brings security when they do that. And for husbands, this morning, we can maybe find security in our jobs. We find security in, we want security in knowing that we will be able to continue working the rest of the week. To the end of the week, we'll have a job, or the end of the month or the year or whatever. We have security in that. We know if we can continue working to provide for our family, and that brings us security. And also, maybe as we get older, we think of retirement, having invest money there for retirement, and that can bring security. And children growing up, thinking of a child in his or her daddy's arms, that's security. And when there's a thunderstorm or whatever it is, and a child will go to their dad most times. They'll go to their dad to find security in that. And I was thinking of this morning, a picture of a dad holding a baby. And there's probably some here this morning. I see Joey's holding his little baby. That's a picture of security. A child resting confidently in his father's arms. And being afraid of the dark. A child that's afraid of the dark, holding dad's hand. That's a picture of security. And picture of insecurity might be being lost. If you're on a hike or you're in the woods you're lost. I remember one time when I was hunting, I got lost. And that was back before the day of apps and GPS on our phones. It's pretty hard. If you get lost today, I'm a little worried for you if you get lost today and you have a phone and an app. But that was back before I had that. We used maps. We had big old maps, and we would look at where we're at on the mountain and look at this ridge, you know, we can figure out where we're at. And one time I was pretty much lost and I didn't know where to go. So I was walking around. That is an insecure feeling. When you're in the middle of the woods and you're lost, that is not a good feeling. Or before the day of GPS on the roads. Many of you remember that, where you would be driving around and you'd kind of lost, didn't know where you're at, so you had to stop and ask for help. Where am I at? That's foreign to us today, because we have everything we need through a GPS to take us where we need to go. And so, thinking of security, insecurity, I think of animals. When I watch animals sometimes, whether hunting or wherever it is, and animals are the same way. When they get away from when a small animal gets away from their mother, they become insecure. You know, they want to stay with their mom. When they become separated from their mom, they know they're in danger. And so this morning, imagine if we lived in like a hostile nation like North Korea or some of these countries where Ukraine, and not knowing at any time when they may come knocking on your door. That would require a faith and confidence and trust in God. The United Nations was an organization that was created in 1945 following World War II. There's countries that got together and formed a coalition of the United Nations. This coalition, they seen the devastation that was caused following the World Wars and all the lives that were taken and lost in the World Wars. And so they got together, formed this coalition to create peace and security. And I went on the website, United Nations website, and it says there's one central mission, and that is the maintenance of international peace and security. And so the United Nations works together to prevent conflict in the world. They work with nations together to try to create peace. When there's a conflict arise, when something comes up and there's a and there was a skirmish between two nations. The United Nations steps in to try to create, to try to stop the problem that they're facing with potential war. And so they step in to try to stop that and create peace. They are proactive in stopping whatever it is to stop war from happening. So this United Nations was created to maintain peace and security. Will it solve the problems of unrest in our world today? Will it solve the problems that we see of rioting and unrest? It will not. It will not solve the problem. It may slow the problem down. But as Isaiah says here in chapter 8, driven to darkness. It's the unfortunate reality in which we live. So I want to look a little bit at some of the things that the world finds security in this morning. And I'll just go through here and briefly go over some of the things that I have written down. First of all, good jobs. And that's not necessarily all. We can find security in that too. Many people find security in that. Some people find security in popularity. Some find security in beauty. Maybe more so teenage girls or preteens. I have a preteen. They can find security in beauty. How about money? Bank account. How about, do you ever find security in the amount of money you have in your bank account? Do you ever find yourself spending more time in prayer and thinking on God, thinking about God when the money is low? Do you ever find more time seeking God when the money is low? There is people that their lives revolve around money. Everything they do, everything they talk about is everything about making money. And that can be, that can stem from finding security in money. How about the government? We sure seen that in the past 2 years, I do believe. People putting security in the government and thinking that the government will take care of them. If they work for the government, they will care for me. Security systems. People can put their security in that. $20 billion a year in the United States is spent on security systems. There's nothing wrong with security systems. But there's people that can really put a lot of trust in that. How about homes or locks? Guns. Guns is a big one today. Many people carry guns with them. I believe more than what we realize. Have a concealed weapons permit and carry a gun because it brings them security. And many people carry guns to church. You'd be surprised at how many people carry guns to church. Insurance. A good insurance policy, that can bring security. Knowing that if a fire breaks out or something bad happens, that the insurance company will step in. And insurance is needed. You need insurance today. You can't go out on the road without insurance. But I do believe that is something that people can put a lot of security in. Possessions. So we looked at things that the world put security in. Now, secondly, I want to look at our present security. How do we find security today? Is there anything secure today? Is anything that we have secure? We look at some of the things that that we have. We think we have insurance. Well, insurance is only secure to whatever that bank's on if there's funds there from the insurance company. Money in the bank, that's not secure anymore. Our own life can be taken. So as we think about it, we all need security. How about security in our marriages? If we're going to have strong families, we need strong marriages. And if you think of security, the opposite of security is insecurity. And maybe there's those of us that have struggled with insecurity at times. Maybe more so wives can struggle with that. If their husband isn't leading out right, or in areas like he should, or maybe he's busy with work or whatever it is, and that can be something that a wife can relate to. I have three ways this morning, ways a husband can make his wife feel more secure. And this comes from a deacon's wife. We won't say who. The first one is love and care for her for who she is and not compare her to others. So that's a good one. Love her for who she is and not compare her to others. Secondly, set boundaries and then trust her judgment. I thought that's a good one too, and that works either way. Set boundaries in your marriage and then trust the other partner's judgment. Thirdly, give a listening ear. And that is something that each one of us as husbands knows exactly what we're talking about there. We all know what it's like to listen. Sit there and listen for however many minutes and just give a listening ear. It's very important. There's a quote here. If you find security in anything other than Jesus, you are going to be full of fear, anxiety, and insecurity constantly. So if you find security in anything other than Jesus, your life is going to be full of fear and insecurity. So we looked at what the world finds security in, what are we finding in security in, and what I want to point out, note this morning, is that we cannot depend on finding security in another person. We cannot totally depend on that. If we do, we will be let down. A husband or a wife or whoever it is that you're finding security in is not perfect. And God intended, as thinking of a marriage, God intended for a husband and wife to work together and to fulfill each other's needs and to be there for each other and care for each other, but they will fail. And so it's so important that we are not fully dependent on each other, but that we need to depend on God, who will supply all of our needs. So thirdly, I want to look at our future security. We looked at the world's security, what the world finds security in, and what we can find security in. I want to look at our future security. And our future security needs to be found in the promises of God and having faith that He knows what is best because His word says so. So I believe when we lose our dependence on Christ and we start looking around at these other things and find security in other things, we are no longer finding security in Christ, then we may begin to question our salvation. And I want to look a little bit this morning, think a little bit about assurance of salvation. And looking, as we think about looking at our future security in Christ, maybe sometimes we may question our salvation. Are we really saved? And sometimes younger people or new Christians can struggle with that at times, thinking about our salvation. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Look a little bit at Romans chapter 8. And you can do a search online, and you can look all over the internet and search unconditional eternal security about whether a person can lose their salvation or not. And very rarely will you find that a person who is a follower of Christ, who is dedicated to serving Christ, can lose their salvation. That's Calvinism. That is swept over our society in great measures. And I believe what it does is it gives a person a license to sin. They're saved, and yet so they can go out and live the life, however the life they want to live. They can live according to the flesh, however they want to live. And so as I think about that, let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." So that is a wonderful promise to Spirit-led Christians today. There's no condemnation. If we're following Jesus Christ and He is Lord of our lives, there's no condemnation. And that is a wonderful promise for us, for a child of Christ. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And I want to read a verse in John chapter 1. You don't have to bother turning there. John chapter 1, verses 12 to 13. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." So what that's saying here, when we believe in our hearts, and we live for Christ, we become a child of His. And it's not rocket science. It's not a full lifetime of obtaining salvation and living for good works. It's not about that. It's about a simple belief and a faith in Jesus Christ and keeping Him Lord of our lives. I'm going to read another verse here in Romans chapter 8. Again, later on in the chapter, Romans chapter 8, I think this really ties it together. Romans chapter 8, I'm going to read verses 12 to 17. "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." So, looking at the beginning of this section here, verses, Romans chapter 8, verse 12. "If ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you live after the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." And it's that simple. If we live after the flesh, it says we shall die. And so, that tells me that, you know, when we're born into the family of God, we are His child. We are His children. But if we continue to live after the flesh and we follow after Satan and we continue to rebel against the very nature of God and we continue to go against His Spirit and to quench His Spirit time after time, over and over again, and we live a lifetime of following after Satan, it says we shall die. And I can't look at it any other way. I believe there comes a point in a time in a person's life when he continues to grieve God's heart that there comes a point where he could fall from grace. And that goes against so much of the world's way of looking at it. And so, and we understand God is the judge when that point in time is. And I'm glad that we can leave God as the judge to that. But we as Christ followers this morning, we can know, we can have assurance of that we are truly saved. And that's what God intends for each one of us. And as we think of future security, God wants each one of us to know that we have the security of knowing that we will see Jesus someday and experience heaven with him forever. And that's a wonderful promise to have. And if you're here this morning and you're struggling with that, some people do struggle with that insecurity in that area. And, you know, if we are saved, we're following Jesus Christ. The Bible says there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. If there's something there hindering, if there's sin, then there's probably a reason why. But many times a young person can experience that. I'm going to look at one more verse here in Titus. Titus is right there before Hebrews, right? Titus chapter 3, 4 through 7. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, towards man appeared. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And so, heirs of eternal life. What does an heir do? An heir receives an inheritance. And that is us this morning, receiving an heir according to the hope of eternal life. What a blessing that is. So this morning, in conclusion, how do we find security in a troubled world, in an insecure world? I believe what we need to do is we need to look out of this world. We need to look into the kingdom of God. We're not going to find it here, anything in material things here. And if we do, we will be scared. We will be fearful. We will be lost. We will be afraid. But let's look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And he is the one where we will find our security. We can find so many verses in the Bible of Christ being our protector, our rock, our fortress. In Psalms, it's so many verses about that. And I was just thinking about our bulletin here. The verse on our bulletin: may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in faith, so that you overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's tremendous. It really is. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in faith, so that you overflow with hope. And that's what God wants to do to us this morning. He wants us to overflow with hope by the power of his Spirit living within us. So, I want to close with a verse this morning, John chapter 16, verse 33. John chapter 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. And the last part of the verse here says, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. And it sounds easy. It just says it right there like it is. In the world you're going to have tribulation, but how do you have good cheer when you're living through tribulation? Like how is it possible to be of good cheer when you're being oppressed or whatever? But then the very last part of the verse says, I have overcome the world. And that's why. That's how we can be of good cheer when we're experiencing that. When we can overcome, Christ has overcome the world. And for us today, we are so much, for myself, I'm so much more confident when I'm an overcomer. We're so much, I enjoy being able to fix things. If somebody calls and has an electrical issue and they've exhausted everything they could to try to fix the problem, and they call us, call a professional. And go in there, and I really like when I can overcome the problem, and it gives me confidence to go do the next one. So when we overcome something, it gives us continually confidence, and that's what Christ did. He overcame the world. He overcame death. He overcame Satan, and so praise God for that. So remember today, the rest of the week, that the only way that we can really feel secure in this world is to find full and complete satisfaction in Jesus Christ, our Savior, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way and the truth and the life. It's only through Jesus Christ that we will be able to find complete satisfaction. You know, so many in the leaders or whoever it is, that role models that we can have, that we may look up to in the world today, at times, they can let us down. And so we need to put our focus on Christ. So God bless each one of you this week. And thinking about being, spreading the hope. We're nearing the Christmas season. And there's a lot of people that are troubled. And so just keep your eyes open for that. Maybe we can somehow spread hope and security to the world around us. And I hope Wednesday night, as we go out and Christmas carol, hopefully we can do that to somebody who is troubled. And so just think about that this week. Keep your eyes open for those that are troubled and lost. It's pretty evident to see, and that we can continue to show God to others. And also that we can find fulfillment in knowing that our salvation is secure as we continue to follow Him and as we continue to keep Him Lord of our lives. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father in heaven, we pause before you again this morning, and we thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you give to us. We thank you for another day of rest that we can set aside to worship you. Thank you for the church here. Just thank you for each one. Lord, just bless us, guide us, and direct us as we go from day to day. Lord, there's so many things that are easy to put security into in this world. And help us, Lord, to look past all that and to see you and to focus on you, and that we can find complete fulfillment in life as we seek you and serve you, Lord. Just be with us as we go from here. Lead, guide, and direct us, and may you be honored and glorified in all that we do and say. In your name I pray. Amen.